Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, it sucks. We were talking about Sean Dubin yesterday. Had to shut him down now. And Pedro Leon had to shut him down with a knee. Pedro Leon is older. Pedro Leon has a chance to, if Gamble doesn't work out, if Chaz doesn't work out, Jake's not working out, you know, he's got a chance to come up and maybe, you know, have some kind of an influence on, like Siri did, you know, when he first came up. And unfortunately, he's down with a knee injury right now. So that's not great. That's not great. Cam Smith with a big two home runs.
Yeah.
And he did it in front of family and friends because he's from the area, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, Pedro Leon was, remember when he was kind of the hot name in the minor league system?
Yeah.
It was Pedro Leon and it was Corey Lee. And it turns out Yiner and nobody else really.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you got...
Well, not from that group.
Melton, you got Cam Smith now.
You got guys. Yeah. But not from then. Not from back when it was the two big names were Pedro Leon and Corey Lee. Then it turned out to be Yiner and nobody.
Yeah.
Except maybe Spaghetti.
Yeah, well, that's a pitcher, so that's double.
He's been okay, yeah.
Yeah. Do you got Cam Smith, Del? Pretty cool for him. His family was there. Gets in the game, hits a couple of bombs. I mean, wow, that is fun. I mean, the kid doesn't look like anything he's afraid of the big stage, because that's a big stage. When you got pressure your first time that you're traded to a new team and your family is there and everybody's there and you hit a couple out. That's neat. That is really, really cool. Here's Cam Smith on his big day.
I can't even describe it. But it feels like the best feeling in the world. It's a blessing just to get opportunities to get in there, whether you're starting the game, whether you're getting the back half of the game. It's just to see that caliber of pitching this early, it's huge as a ball player.
What was your approach on those at-bats? I mean, you laid off some tough pitches, too, before the homers.
Yeah, so the main thing was, you know, get that fastball. Don't be late on it and, you know, see it and hit it.
Do you feel like a lot of
That's neat. That was Brian McTaggart. Asking Cam Smith. So, thank you, Brian McTaggart, for that sound. That is cool. That is really, really cool. And, you know, hopefully, if that kid turns out to be a player, wow, that'll be fun for the next 6 years. You're right. You know, they're going to have – Kyle Tucker's going to be a really good player for years to come. He's going to be a lot more expensive than Cam Smith will be. That's for sure.
Yeah.
He's a legitimate. We'll see. We'll see whether or not Cam Smith, but he's a big prospect. So that's great. Maybe, maybe Dana Brown knows what he's doing. We'll see. Who's on the line, Dell? Well, Larry is on the line. Hey, Larry, what's going on?
I'm just trying to satisfy President Elon Musk's 5 bullet points. Some miscellaneous stuff here. First of all, John is a man of the people. Dell, he's one of the one percenters. He's an elitist.
Yep.
Gilbert, maybe at the forefront of some new disease. I've heard of walking pneumonia. I never heard of falling down pneumonia.
Yep.
And yep. Lance said that you may be going to New York after the draft, and you might see Glengarry Glen Ross. I don't know if you're aware, the best scene in that movie, the Alec Baldwin sales meeting, Coffee is for Closers, that was not in the original play. That was added just for the movie. So you need to report back if you do go see the play, if that is in the play, if they added it, because it's such a popular scene in the movie. And finally, an actual sports take. You said it on your show that Hannah McNair, unlike Amy Adams, she loves Houston. She cares about Houston. She listened to the people. And, you know, she saw when Energy Stadium was half full and people were canceling their season tickets. So most Houstonians do not want a new stadium. They're estimating that to fix Energy, it's going to cost $1.4 billion for renovations. So they may say, let's just get a new stadium and have the taxpayers pay for it. But, I mean, if she's listening to the fans, then they're not going to do that. And I'm curious if they do build, or when they do build a new stadium, is it going to be another retractable roof stadium with a roof that doesn't close? Okay, thanks.
Well, hopefully this one is designed better to help grass grow. Because that
why they're never going back to grass, I don't think.
Maybe they will if they can actually have a roof that opens and you can actually have the sun.
Well, even when you opened it, it would only cover a certain amount of space.
Well, that was this roof. Maybe you can design.
Well, you're talking about a new stadium. You're not talking about $1.2 billion in renovations. You think they're going to take the whole roof off and widen it out? I don't.
No. I think they're going to build it. Why would you put a $1.4 billion into that?
Does she listen to the stadium? Does she listen to the fans? I'm sorry, does ownership listen to the fans? Yes.
Yes.
This is not a popular thing.
That's
okay. This is one of the reasons why I think, now, at some point, the rubber's going to meet the road at some point. It ain't going to be over the next 2 years, I promise you that.
Well, but, you know what? We're going to listen to the fans when it comes to offensive coordinators and what kind of hot dogs we want at the stadium and who we want at halftime. But when it comes to public monies, for a building a new stadium, we ain't listen, okay?
You literally have to listen to the fans when it comes to public money.
Well, guess
it's
what?
It's literally the very definition of public money is having to listen to the fans.
Well, guess what? We love Houston, but Houston, if you can't support a football team and give the public monies to fix the to build a new stadium, then we're out of here.
So you're saying the Texans right now are on the verge of moving?
I'm saying that it's going to be contentious.
You think the Texans are going to threaten to move the organization?
I think that the Texans want that public and are going to pursue public money, and if they don't get it, it will get contentious. Yes.
But you think part of the contentiousness, I'm very specifically asking, do you think they will threaten to leave?
I don't know that at this point. It's early.
Well, that's what you're intimating.
It's early, but
that,
I'm telling you, what do you think?
The
they're just going to go, okay. You think they're just going to say, okay, you don't want to give us any money to help, okay.
What do you do?
Well,
what do you do? Do you think this is the first stadium that's been
built? Maybe it will be Fort Bend. Maybe it will be, I don't know, Cypress. Maybe it'll be Katy. Maybe it'll
be
Galveston.
Move it wherever, but keep it in Houston. I don't care where. You want to build something, but you're not getting enough money from Fort Bend County to build a stadium. You're going to have to come a heavy chunk, and this is just the way stadiums are built now. The financing is not like it was when the Rockets and the Astros back in the early 2000s were looking for new stadiums. It's not like that anymore. A lot of it comes from private. A lot of it comes from, you know, self-contained. And then you try to get a certain amount. I mean, you try to get as much as you can publicly, but it's not like if you threaten to leave, you now are off the list. You are off the list. The only way you can do that is win a championship. You're going to have to win a championship to be able to have to be able to have the juice to say that and do that, you're going to have to win a championship. Anything short of that, and you're just like the other owner. You're no different.
We just talked about what the Titans are doing. Their stadium is supposed to be completed in 2027. They are getting $1.26 billion from the public. So NFL owners are still asking and still getting public subsidies.
They get it from Houston. The Rockets couldn't even get the Rockets. It took two bond. And this is a team that had won two championships. And just four years later, the Rockets couldn't even get it took a second push to get them. They gave it to the Astros. You remember that, John. They didn't give it to the Rockets.
Yeah.
That's why Mattress Mack sent me to the Final Four with listeners in 2000 as a quote-unquote radio event, so I could come back and talk about how cool Conseco Fieldhouse was at the time, because he was heavily invested in the Rockets at the time, and he wanted the Rockets to get a new stadium, and he wanted on the radio to talk about how cool that stadium was. And it was cool. Conseco Fieldhouse, whatever it's called now, was very cool. And the Rockets did need a new stadium, but the public was not. I mean, the public was not in for it. Now, with the economy where it is, like, Houston, I'm just telling you, Dell, I'm glad for the people of Tennessee. If you think you're getting that amount of money from Houston, you are absolutely
I'm not saying that Houston's going to give it to them. I'm just telling you that, no, it is not everyone's getting it public. The Bills, their stadium's getting built. They got over $850 million from the public to build their stadium. So the money is still they're still asking. And most of the time, NFL teams get their money from the public.
Lance, you're looking at SoFi, and SoFi was all private money. That's the outlier. Every other stadium has a lot of public money. SoFi is different
What are the latest stadiums?
I just told you, the Bills Stadium. They're getting $850. The Titans are getting $1.26
billion. How much does it cost to build it? What's the percentage?
As I look, I have to look up the bills. I think the cost is 1.4. So they got $850 out of $1.4 billion. $850 million out of $1.4 billion. So over half.
Now those fans are still all in.
And I don't know why the Titans are still all in, but they did it too.
Yeah, we got a bunch of transient people who aren't from here, and we got a bunch of local fans who are just coming off of. It's just going to go. Y'all can say whatever you want. They can ask for whatever they want. It's just going to go very poorly.
It's going to go very poorly for you.
I'm telling you.
It's going to go very poorly.
I know. And if you can't, you will ruin your family's reputation if you threaten to move this team. And if you move this team, the McNairs are dead to the city of Houston the same way the Adams are dead to the city of Houston.
Except they
everything
got
that you've worked for, your whole
coming.
Family, dead. Well, that's except great. I don't give
Nashville's
it. I don't,
giving
I don't
them $1.2 billion. And you know what, Lance? Listen, the Titans are going to get $1.2 billion, but the Texans ain't getting none. You think that's going to sit well with Hannah when Amy's over there with?
I don't care what sits
billion?
Well. It doesn't have to sit well with you. It's not going to happen for you. Okay. You're not getting what the Titans are getting. I'm just telling you. You know that too, John. You're arguing that it's not going to happen. So who cares how it sits with you?
I was in the middle of the whole Oilers crap going down. Had Dan Patrick on the show we had a round table, and it was ugly, and this is going to be ugly too. This is just the start. It's just the start.
It can get as ugly as it wants. You ain't getting the money from Houston. Okay. Not the public. They're not doing it. Now, once again, if in the meantime you win a championship, that can change some things. But you better ask for it right after you win a championship.
The Astros got the money over 30 years ago. And we'll see where this goes. I mean, there's a lot.
Astros were in the middle of a really hot run at that time. Now we're in the middle of their hot run.
So are the Texans.
97. We'll find out if this is a hot enough run.
Well,
you've seen the responses on Twitter.
How different is the?
Does it feel like feel like people are on board with a hot run?
They're all about it.
You tell me. I wasn't here. How different is the Astros not finishing the deal any different from what the Texans are doing?
Well, it's a different time, Dell. Like
the
stadium stuff was. It was a really different time.
It's different, but as far as the teams themselves, I mean, the Astros were disappointing in the playoffs and pissing people off, and the Texans, at least right now, have some leeway. If they lose in the division around for a third year in a row,
But this is what you have to understand. The prices are so exorbitant for fans to go to events. The money is so incredibly high for what players are getting, what owners are getting. They see the NFL has deals, billions for Netflix, billions for Amazon. it's just obvious that you have all this money, and now you're going to ask us for money when the rise in inflation, the rise of cost of goods does not equal the rise of salary. You know, salaries are not raising with the cost. It's harder on the general public. You'd have to sell it as, you know, which they did at that time, the visitation tax, right? It's going to be on hotels. It's going to be on. That's where a lot of this funding comes from, hotels, because you have to say other people are paying for this. So it's going to be hotels, rental cars, things that are typically visitors pay that. The problem we have is we don't have a huge market there. Now the flip side will be Hannah and Cal and whoever will argue, or their new team president will argue, well, yeah, but if we get something new, we bring in Final Fours, and we bring in, so all the visitation, it helps to pay for that. That would be the argument they make. But it's a very different time right now in sports. I'm just being completely serious here, because fans look at sports way differently. Social media, the money that's involved, there's a different vibe with fans and their sports teams. It's much more contentious than it once was. And fans and ownership, it's much more contentious than it once was. So, yep. You know, to your point, John, yeah, if Hannah – see, my thing is, I don't think they would push to the point of threatening to leave a city after all that they – you know, they're anti-Amy Adams and the Titans and all that stuff. Then they fall into the same trap. Whew. No. I mean, and they love to be loved by the city. They love to be loved. Yeah,
absolutely. It's going to get contentious. You just have to be ready to be.
Always
does. We got to break.
If your money's that important, you have to be ready to be hated. And if you're okay with that, then you charge forward with whatever means necessary. But you will be hated by a big chunk of your fan base, and you will also. The demand to win will be substantial, and if you don't sell the team, and it's – yeah, it could get ugly. It could get ugly.
Yep. It always does.
If they wait a little while, though, they can come back and ask for something in 6 months.
We got a break. We got a break. We're way behind, all right? Right now, we've got to talk about Doc Linville. We've got to talk about hair. We've got to talk about – and what you're looking in the mirror in the morning. You woke up this morning, and you went, oh, my goodness. Man, it seems to be receding here. Oh, my goodness. That bald spot is growing there. Oh, I don't want to be bald. What do I do? You're going to try the Rogaine or whatever. Get somebody that knows what they're doing, and that's Doc Linville. He's been doing this. He's one of the biggest and best in the city of Houston. He just started this about 4 or 5 years ago. And in the first couple of years, he was already one of the biggest in Houston of hair movement. It's not hair replacement. It's hair movement. You move it from the side and the back with the neo-grafting. And it's so much better than the cut and paste that they used to do. So that was so painful. Now Doc makes it as easy as possible. He's got a 3-day anesthetic, but you don't even really need it. I mean, I didn't need it. I didn't have that 3-day anesthetic, and I was fine. I did it on Friday, work on Monday. It was great. I mean, the process is easy. It's simple. It's wonderful. Now you may not need the neo-grafting. You may just need the PRP, which stimulates your growth of your own hair. All right, but catch this early. Don't wait. Don't go, oh, wow, Doc's going to go, that's a lot of work right there, pal. You should have called me a while ago. Don't be that guy. Be the guy that's preemptive and take your strike right now. Go right now to 975hair.com, 975hair.com. Okay, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Julian wants to get in here and talk on the radio. What do you say, Julian?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Y'all have talked about Top Boy so much, and I was reluctant to watch it. Dude, it's so good. But I'm getting upset. They just killed Jamie. I just started season 3. I don't like Steph anymore, and Lauren needs to go. Now, the draft, my wish list, Warren, tight end from Penn State, then Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan. And then if we don't get either one of those, let's trade down to about, I don't know, 17, 19, because 18 is Seattle. They won't give us nothing. 17, 19, and get Nolan. Y'all have a good day.
By the way, he's talking about 49er draft list.
Yeah, he's talking about 49ers.
Wishes, not the Texans.
They got a new play caller, Clint Kubiak. is officially the offense coordinator
Clint
and officially the play caller.
Isn't there another? Oh, it's the other Kubiak.
Is it the other Kubiak?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the other Kubiak. So they got a new play caller. It's kind of a touchy subject, I found out, with Niner fans who think that they really don't think much of, you know, they don't like their play caller either, and their play caller is a head coach. So they got rid of their play caller, the head coach did. Now the head coach turned it over to a Kubiak. So we'll see how that works out. Tyler Warren, okay, you get you a tight end to maybe be the next – you know, to I guess saddle up next to what's his name? Not Kelsey.
Kittle.
Yeah, George Kittle. I guess he plays next to him, and then eventually he takes over for Kittle. That's fine. Walter Nolan is a guy who probably won't get drafted where he should because he's immature, so he could fall a little bit. So if you trade it back, you could get Walter Nolan. That'd be a good pick for you. Will Johnson, there's a real concern about his speed and whether or not he's not going to run out here, and there's a, you know, there's little whispers that Will Johnson won't run at all because he's too worried about what he'll run. And if that's the case, we'll just see. We'll see how it's handled. Because if he won't run and he plays a position like cornerback, then teams automatically say, ooh, we kind of don't think he can run. And there's some new technology now where teams can estimate your speed based on your game tape. And if it doesn't check out, they'll say, zone corner, forget it. And he's going to go, pew, and fall. So keep an eye on Will Johnson because he may not go as high as we've had him in the mock drafts if he doesn't run. If he doesn't run in the low 4.5s, then he could be in some trouble. And if he doesn't run at all, then teams are just going to say he didn't want to run. You know, his argument will be, oh, I've had a turf toe all this time. Yeah, you didn't play the whole year. And there was arguments that you could have made it back, like for maybe the Ohio State game, but you didn't want to risk your draft stock, which, you know, business decision, I kind of get that. I kind of get that, but Will Johnson may be a guy that falls some. So hopefully your Niners make all the moves and make all your dreams come true, hopefully.
I've seen a couple of times, and I'm looking at 33rd team's mock draft. They got Josh Simmons. What do you think of?
Yeah, Josh Simmons is a talented tackle. I don't know how that's going to go because he's another one who's getting killed behind the scenes for his, you know, maybe not being a great worker, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see what that – we'll see what that does, but it's a bad tackle draft. So all it takes is one team to say, yeah, we don't care. We don't care what Ohio State says or whoever's saying it. We don't care. We just want to tackle.
I just worry about him. His picture here, he's got hair like Pippi Longstockings. He's got two. Who was the basketball player that first came out and did that? Big dude.
Keith Kloss?
Not Keith Kloss, no. Anyway.
Oh, with the little pigtails like Wendy's?
Yeah. Like the Wendy girl.
I don't know. Who was the first player?
I remember he was from Cincinnati. Played at Cincinnati University and then came to the pros.
Not Danny Fortson. He didn't have his hair like that.
Danny Fortson. It was Danny Fortson.
Did Danny Fortson have his hair like that?
Yes.
Not Fortson. At Cincinnati, though. Maybe in the pros.
No, when he got to the pros.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Danny Fortson. And I was like, man, you're a big dude to be looking like Pippi Longstockings and the Wendy's girl. But that's what Josh said. I just don't want any drip. I don't need any drip.
Pigtails.
I'm looking
drip
at a picture
you?
Of
Gray.
Well, that's not our team. We're good. We've already got that covered, John.
I'm looking at Gray Zabel. That's what I want my offensive line.
Gray Zabel from North Dakota State?
Yeah.
He looks kind of like what you typically see.
He doesn't look like he's got any drip. I don't know.
I don't think he has. I think he wears one pair of shoes.
Somebody tweeted to us that, you know, Jay Hilgenberg, the Bears' former center, he said, I love being a football player because I don't have to shower before I go to work. That's what you want. That's what you want in a lineman. A guy who doesn't shower. A guy who eats burgers on the toilet. That's what you want.
Well,
we had that.
Yeah.
We lost that. Yeah, we had that. Remember?
We had that. Yeah, Steve McKinney ate
Yeah,
but I think at that time he was eating Whataburger on the toilet, and that's kind of a bad word for him now since he owns a bunch of McDonald's.
He's all McDonald's. But you know what? He wouldn't eat McDonald's on the toilet, so there you have it.
By the way, I'm looking at this this chart about public versus private funding. It is a really interesting chart because it is completely regional. Like Midwest fans will pay a big chunk, 77%, 86%, 66%. 71%. What is Empower Field? What is that? Oh, that's mile high. 74%. It's 84% public money. Then when you get to the coasts, it goes way down. Like, you may see as much as 39%, but it goes way down. Jerry World is not much. Jerry World was 37%. NRG Stadium, when it was built, 57% public financing. But if you look in the south and the west coast and the east coast, it's very low, relatively low public financing, usually below 40%. You get to the Midwest and the sucker-ass states, it's higher. We're one of the only sucker teams in the if you go all the way from the west coast down through the south and up to the east coast, there's only two sucker teams, and it's what stadium is this, Dell? Is it your stadium?
What's the name of the stadium?
No, it's probably Tampa. Or is it Jackson? Well, Raymond James is Tampa.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tampa is 73% public. But then you have
this Florida sucker ass state then?
Because Miami's not.
Do you know what I'm worried about? This it's going to become stadium financing show. I mean, honestly, because it is going to be a big topic, and we're going to.
I'm going to be dead. I don't care what y'all are doing, because it ain't happening that fast. It's happening pretty fast, brother.
Oh yeah, it's happening pretty fast.
You think so?
Because they've got to fix NRG with that roof and everything else to upgrade it, or they got to build a new stadium. So it's happening a lot faster than you think. It's out of the box. Stadium financing is out in the public. It moves at a pretty quick pace. Yeah.
It can't move until you win. Like, you don't have any chance of winning unless you win on the field.
I don't know if you saw 10-7. Okay, so.
Nah, that's not enough.
Division titles, winning playoff games. How much
everyone wants
you
everyone
want?
Fired.
How many straight division titles do you need?
it's not going to matter. Bill O'Brien won like four out of 5 years. He won a division title.
He was hated.
Doesn't matter.
People are already calling for D'Amico's head.
You're
talking about Twitter.
Let D'Amico go 9-8.
You were talking
next year.
About our bubble because the people we read
no,
on
no, no,
Twitter.
Seriously. Let D'Amico go 9-8.
Well,
and
yeah,
see how it goes.
If he has a bad year, then sure. But right now, the general Houston fan, they ain't out on D'Amico.
No. The general Houston fan is not. But general Houston fan is not all in on Texans being this wildly good team either. This isn't good enough to ask for people's money. It's just not. And when you do, you're probably going to have to be down in a 30% range, like Dallas is. Dallas is 37% public. The rest of it came from expensive-ass Jerry. And that was a big mega facility, too. And that's what they want. They want mega facility.
Yep, that's what they want.
Which is really the only thing you can build anymore if you're going to be a major hub city.
Well, I'm telling you, I don't want to talk about this for.
But the
two
Midwest
years.
Is just like all
good
a bunch
Lord,
of suckers.
I don't want to talk about this. For
yeah,
two
you got
years.
The Oscars to go to,
and yeah, I'm tell us about that.
And I'm the elitist.
Have you even watched any Oscar movies?
Yeah.
Like what? Did you watch Conclave?
Did you watch Anora?
Yes, of course I watched Conclave.
Did you watch A Real Pain? A Real Pain's good. It's subtle, but it's good.
I started it and I was like this.
You quit on stuff easy.
Yeah, I quit.
You're a quitter.
My wife watched it. She was.
It's
we
good.
Were playing together.
You didn't watch Anora?
I did not watch Anora.
I've got it.
So
how is
like
it?
That.
I've got it.
Has a young stripper trying to make it her way, and she does stripper like things.
Oh,
she does some extras on the side.
A little
was
extra.
It was extras. Dell's extra champagne room or is
no,
extras,
extras is going is to it? The rich oligarch son's house.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was maybe doing DoorDash.
No, she's not delivering food. She's delivering other stuff. Mm-mm. Making house calls.
Oh, John's in today. He's watching it today.
Delivering other stuff?
Yeah, house calls. She's making house calls.
I don't want to see that.
That sounds like an Oscar winner.
That's not what I'm about. Okay. Anyway. So this 979 HD2 is down right now. We're working on it. Apologize for those of you that are trying to listen. It's not. It's we paid the bill. Blah 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 blah. There's some kind of technical issue. It's the first technical issue we've ever had. So let's not get overly critical.
What we've noticed that the message got across.
Yeah.
How often you told people to go there? People did go there.
Yeah. They did. And it's a great signal, and it's coming back. So we apologize for right now, working on it. We also want you to get to ESPN975.com and sign up for our golf tournament, which is next Tuesday, just 6 days away. We want you to play with us. It's at 10:30 a.m. Brown Bag Deli is going to be providing the breakfast. Valencia Tex-Mex Garage is providing the dinner, which is going to be awesome. Carbach's Brewery is providing libations. So it's going to be a fun day had by all, and we want you all out there. We're raising money for kids' meals. It's what we do. It's the occasional invitational, and this is the invitation now. March 4th, we want you at Wildcat Golf Club with us, hanging out and having a big time. So let's do that. Let's go get to ESPN975.com and sign up. There's not many spots left. So hurry up and get there and sign up. All right, we will talk. We got Rockets to talk about on the other side. Let's do that because they won last night and they got another game tonight against San Antonio. You got a little Taquerias Arandis.
Taquerias Arandis, I don't have it here in Indianapolis. Looking forward to getting back and grabbing a big hearty breakfast on a Saturday morning. Finally, I get instead just go right up Draft Prospects. Going to go out, have my breakfast, go play a little disc golf. Settle back into a routine, and then I'll go write prospects. But Taquerias Arandis is absolutely, because it's on the way to my course over at TC Jester, I'm going to be having either lunch or breakfast. Sometimes I like to finish up. The course is about 3 miles, 3.5 miles. You walk that, and then you go grab a lunch. That's also a nice way to do it. Have a beer, have some tacos. Oh, my gosh, I'm getting hungry right now. Just thinking about Al Pastor tacos with the onions and cilantro and hot sauce in the two small corn tortillas, delicious every single time out. Authentic Mexican food is fantastic. Having it with a beer or a margarita makes it even better. And watching your favorite sporting events at Aranda Sports Bar. In select locations, they have turned their bar area into sports bars so that you can watch your favorite sporting events while having authentic Mexican food or their special bar menu. They've got a special bar menu that you can only access if you're at that around a sports bar. Watch your March Madness. Watch your pro games, your MLB games, whatever it is that you're locking into, they'll put it on the TV for you. You and your boys can post up, have great food, and more importantly, take advantage of a great time with friends over at Aranda Sports Bar. Taquerias Arandis, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and your favorite sporting events. Anytime, it's Taquerias Arandis.
All right, Lance, you are at the Combine. We heard from D'Amico Ryans, and we will hear some. We'll get back to some more combine talk in the future. But our Rockets won last night, and we got some sound from the opposing team, the Bucks, and it's the Rockets with the 100 gritty win, and we had an issue with Amen Thompson pulling down Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he probably, I don't know, probably is going to be suspended for it. We shall see. There's going to be a nice fine, if nothing else. He was ejected with, I believe, 4:27 left in the game, and the Rockets clinging to just a small lead. Jalen Green came up with a couple of huge free throws at the end. Didn't shoot one free throw until the end, and then hit a couple at the end, which was really, really nice. And the Rockets pull out a 3-point win. But Damian Lillard is, obviously he had a look too, and he did not hit it. He had a couple of looks at the end of the game. He didn't come through for them. And Damian Lillard had some nice things to say about this Houston Rockets team. Here's Damian Lillard talking about our Rockets.
I just think they've drafted well. They've added some good pieces. Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet, to what they've drafted with Jabari Smith and Jalen Green, Sengun, Tari Eason, Thompson. You know, they've got some really good pieces that they've put together. And then, over time, they grow up. They start to figure it out. They come together. They're well coached, and I think that's what you're starting to see, you know, is just coming together and then starting to understand, you know, what it takes.
Mm-hmm. The well-coached thing is awfully important. Now, I don't want to harp on Steven Silas, but that was just, that was awful. It was awful, awful, awful what was going on. They have to grow up. But you know what? They needed Ime. Can you imagine if Steven Silas was still the coach of this basketball team? Nobody would have grown up. Nobody would have been. It would have been this. I can't even think of where this organization would be if they'd still be in the doldrums if they didn't have Ime here. So is it more that they're growing up? Because they're still a young team, a very young team. Is it more that they're growing up, or more that they've got Ime leading them?
Oh, I mean, I think it's, how do you separate the two? I think it's both.
Well, they wouldn't have grown up without Ime, though. I don't believe.
I guess you say Ime. Well, yeah. I mean, everyone grows up but not matures. So your game may mature, but your personality. So, yeah, I'd have to say the coach.
I mean, look at the difference he made immediately.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, you know, it's sad what's going on with Greg Popovich, I guess. I mean, that's one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. Uh-huh. And I guess they don't think that he's going to be coming back ever. So thoughts and prayers to what's going on there with Greg Popovich.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, apparently. I think they said stroke. And so not sure that he'll be back. And, you know, that's a great, great, great coach and did it for 15 years, won over a 15-year span. So he's one of the great coaches in American history, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
so
Belichick, and we always used to talk about Belichick and Popovich together.
And Popovich, yep, those are the two. They had great players, obviously, and especially at the top, you know, but you don't do it without those guys. And goodbye to Diana Taurasi. Diana Taurasi decided that she was going to call it quits.
42 years old.
42. She's one of the great women players of all time. Great women players of all time. All the All-Stars, MVPs, Olympic championships that she's had. I mean, she's the gold medal she's won. She's one of the greats, one of the greats all time. She'll probably end up on TV, right? I would imagine. She's already done a lot of TV stuff. I would imagine she's not going anywhere. We'll be seeing a lot more of Diana Taurasi. But, you know, it's funny. I think it's Caitlin Clark following in those footsteps. We'll see. She's got a long way to go. And didn't even make the Olympic team this year, but she's the face of the. Was Diana Taurasi the face of the WNBA?
She was for years, and then it was her and Sue Bird. And now I guess it's Asia Wilson and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. I guess, you know, people who, I guess it's not like it's not Ionescu. I guess those would probably be the big three.
Yeah. Yeah, Angel Reese is really. It's really, you know, well, she's a good player. She's a good player.
Yeah, she is a good player. She didn't shoot well, but she rebounds. She's good. She's had success. So
yeah.
Yeah, she's a nice player.
And she's got a little attitude too, which is that's great. I mean, and she brings an attitude to the game. That's fun. And it's made the game fun. Shaq, back to some sound here. Shaq was on the set yesterday with Candace Parker and talking about the Lakers game, Lakers and Mavs game, and talking about the Lakers and who the Lakers would like to see in the postseason. And Shaq doesn't think that they want to see the Rockets. Here's Shaq and Candace Parker.
Don't worry about no matchups. All the other teams are worried about matchups. I'm saying this, if I'm the Lakers, 40-year-old LeBron, I don't want to go up against Jalen Green and those guys flying. I'd rather go up against the Denver,
I'd rather go up against a team.
You do not want to go up against Denver if you're the Lakers.
But hold on. I'd rather go up against a team that's not going to be flying. So, like, you know, Denver has times where they come, like, where they run sets and they call plays.
Yeah, but Denver has first round. Denver has Jokic.
Lakers look good against Denver on Saturday.
Yes, they look very good, but the last, how many postseasons?
Yeah, but you're not going to be sprinting all over the place. I'm saying, 40 years old, I don't want to be playing against no young team flying up and down. That's what I'm saying.
You like Houston.
Bad matchups.
You like Houston.
I do.
Very like the game team. Slows down yeah. in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Every team, like you said, in the West is very dangerous.
The Western Conference is tough. The Eastern Conference feels very tight.
So,
I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that either. I'd rather play the Nuggets than Houston. Come on, Shaq.
Yeah. With that playoff experience and that monster. Exactly. Yeah, I get your point about
the athleticism and all that, but he should know that doesn't matter as much in a postseason. It's execution and half-court offense.
Well, and exactly. Then she was right. She said the game slows down in the postseason, and it absolutely does. That's interesting. I like what Shaq had to say there, but I'm not sure that I wholeheartedly agree, and I'm not sure the Lakers are going to agree. Yeah, give us Houston instead of Denver, because we've had enough Denver in the postseason the last few years. So we've seen enough of that.
Late in the game yesterday, there was a play where all the Rockets had to do was hold on to the basketball, and instead Outbee throws a behind-the-head pass that sails out of bounds.
Yeah.
That's why LeBron wants to play the Rockets, because
just
those particular decisions in key moments is why you want to face a young team.
Well,
now, of course, if it's a full court game, you can't slow them down, then sure, that's tough. But they're going to learn on the fly how to play playoff basketball. And while that mistake didn't crush them, they found a way to win. That's a killer decision in the postseason.
Ask yourself this. It's called the three-minute rule. Who would you rather play? I mean, who is more likely to play winning basketball in the final 3 minutes of a game is what a lot of teams will look at. Who is set up to win in the final 3 minutes? And that means good possessions, efficient shots, defending, grabbing defensive rebounds or offensive rebounds, and taking care of the basketball. And it would be the Nuggets. I mean, it would be the Nuggets out of respect. I mean, the Rockets are the up-and-coming team. But in the last 3 minutes of a game, we already see the Rockets, one of their weaknesses is finishing. This is what we've had long conversations about. There's two things we'll do a lot of. Stadium finance and Rockets aren't finishing in a fourth. This is what we're good at on this radio show. And finishing the last 3 minutes is not a strength for the Rockets, typically.
Listen, I go back to that pass last night, Dell. Oh my God! And Alpie was even, and he was like, "Oh wow, what did I do? What am I doing?" And behind the head pass that nobody was there, and gave them another chance. And Dame had a look, and he could have knocked that down. It reminded me of Brooklyn when Reed Shepard's on a break and throws up a three. They get the rebound. They're up with a minute to play, and they're throwing up threes with not running any clock. I mean, yeah, this is and Ime said it the other day. He said, "Yeah, I guess we'd be better if we played smarter basketball. We had higher IQ." Shaq, love you. I love what you had to say. I wish I could agree with you, but I highly doubt that the Lakers would prefer playing Denver over the Rockets. I mean, the Rockets don't have the experience. They don't have Jokic. They don't have that guy. They got baby Jokic. He's a baby, and they're going to
see. That's the problem. He's a baby. He thought he was Jokic. Jokic would have probably never thrown that pass in that situation. But if he did, there would have been someone there to finish the play. That's what Jokic does.
That's what Jokic do. Yep. That was a knucklehead play last night, boy. Wow. And it almost cost him. Dame had a wide open look.
Knucklehead stuff isn't specific to youth. What was Giannis doing fouling Alpie? There was about an 8 seconds difference between game and shot clock. They miss a shot. They're still down by one. And he reaches in and fouls Alpe. And at first, I think he thought maybe they had a foul to give or he didn't even commit a foul. But it sent Alpe to the line for two free throws, and that was that gave them a three-point lead. So that will go by the wayside. But I was thinking to myself, what's he doing? He just gave the Rockets two free throws, so it happened on both sides last night.
Oh, yeah. No. There was knucklehead plays in the NBA.
I mean, but you don't expect it from – I expect it from the Rockets because we've seen it. But Giannis, there was inexcusable, and it gave the Rockets a little breathing room because Alpe went down and knocked down a couple free throws.
Yep. All right, we got a break. Del, which spot did we hit? Did I screw up our spots here?
What did you do last?
What did you do? Did you do a Daspit yet, Lance?
Yes, I have, yes.
You had? Did you do a Taquerias Arandas?
Yes, I just did one.
You just did one. See, that's what I'm talking about. I think we're caught up, Del, right now.
It doesn't make sense because we should be doing a Daspit, but whatever. I'll go listen back and see what the deal is.
Okay.
But, it's time to go to break.
It's time to go to break right now on ESPN 975.
Oh, actually, I don't think I have done a Daspit today.
I don't think you did. I don't think you did.
All right, well, can I tell people about John Daspit?
Yes.
All right. John Daspit is he's the best personal injury lawyer in the city of Houston. He is one of the hardest working weekends. He expects his lawyers to work. Those guys put in work now. And the reason is simple. They have more cases with Daspit Law. So he hires more lawyers so they keep their caseload reasonable so that they can work hard on your case. If you've been injured in an accident, if you've been injured on offshore at the workplace, at someone else's facility where they didn't have things taken care of and you suffered a really bad injury out on the roadway, out on the water, I don't care where it is, loss of property due to security issues. There's a lot of different things that John Daspit and his law firm will work on to recover, you know, financial issues for you, which I mean, you know, your bills that pile up, your inability to work, things like that. They make sure that they get that money back for you, and they make sure that you are properly compensated for the time missed from work and your pain and suffering. Because this wasn't your fault. It was due to someone else's negligence, and you are now having to suffer the consequences because of that. And so John Daspit fights for you because the insurance company, that's what they're there for, to take care of you. But when their job is to squeeze you, and I think you all know insurance companies are always going to squeeze you for the least amount of money that they can give you. And they don't care if you're not taken care of. They do not care. John Daspit does care. He will fight for you. Call the Daspit Law Firm at 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.